broken heart. You set the captive free. You bring light to pierce the darkness. You bring grace for all to see. Provide for those who grieve. Crown of beauty instead of ashes. Your garment of praise covers me. Oh God, Father God. Oh.
Thank you. mistakes I've made that cause pain. I could have done without all my selfish thoughts, all my pride, the things I hide. You have. It haunts me now. They're not a pretty sight to see, but they're wiped away by a mighty, mighty wave. A mighty, mighty wave, yeah.
They are behind you, they'll never find you. They're on the ocean floor. Your sins are forgotten.
Promised, I the whole world, yeah. The land to us restored, no more to roam. In 1948, the nation reborn. The time is now, release what you have sworn. Let it flow like a river will flow. From Dan to Beersheba, Lord, let your spirit flow.
Let it flow, let it flow.
Let it flow like a river will flow. From out of Zion now, let your spirit flow. Us from a new and far has a prophetic sign. Now stretch forth your mighty arm, send your spirit just one more time. Yeah. Let it flow like a river will flow. From Dan to Beersheba, Lord, let your spirit flow.
Let it flow, let it flow.
Let it flow, yeah, like a river will flow.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stewart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. I've gotten this letter we received in the mail from one of our listeners on the radio. I want to read to you. Pastor, we are sure enjoying your sermons on the radio each Sunday. Love the honking amens. I hope that Kim is doing okay. Tell her that she's in my prayers and keep up the good work, Sparky. And then he has a footnote. I grew up visiting and in the summer with my aunt and uncle in West Memphis, Arkansas. So I really enjoy your Memphis illustrations. So Sparky, God bless you. Thanks for the note. We appreciate that. A few announcements. In 2 weeks, we're going to be having our patriotic musical and want to encourage you to come and invite folks. And as you know, we've not only, there's us in here, but there's those that are outside in vehicles. In fact, Kim's here today outside with my daughter Shay and my granddaughter Shiloh, and they're out in drive-in church outside, and praise the Lord. So we've been enjoying them being here, and praise God for them. And then also tonight, our men, we're going to conclude our study that started before the sequestering occurred and unfolded the story of God. It's going to be, we're spacing ourselves out, but we're meeting in the choir room behind us at 5 o'clock. So I want to invite our men, all our men that were participating and any that would like to. We've still got 3 studies left, so we'll be doing these 3 Sundays in June. And then also, we've got coming up a church picnic in the fellowship hall, which is really one of my favorite picnics because it's in the air conditioning. And we'll be in there, and then our health team, our health committee is going to be serving us, and we're buying everything, so don't bring any food. We'll have canned drinks, and we'll have hot dogs, hamburgers, potato salad, coleslaw, and all that, and we're purchasing all that. Requesting a $5 donation, but it's not required, and we'd love you to do that. And then I want to remind you about the baby bottle campaign, the CareNet. It's a major fundraiser for CareNet to help babies live and lead young mothers to Christ. And those baby bottles are in the lobby for you to take and deposit your change, and want to encourage you to grab a couple of those baby bottles and take them with you on the way out. And then we're collecting for these Good Samaritan Ministries our outdated life group literature. So if you'd like to donate that, they take it up there and they use that, and it'll be a blessing for you. And then we've got a family movie night coming up July 12th. That'll be after our picnic in the fellowship hall. You bring your own snacks for that one. And so we'll have a great time of fellowship together. Let's all stand and greet each other by waving, okay? We're going to stand and want you to wave at the balcony, wave at each other, and hello, hello.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we're just humbled before you, Lord, that you are worthy, Lord, that you are seated on the throne and that you are watching over us. Through all of the trials and all the temptations of this world, Lord, and everything that that we go through in this life, Lord, that you are there looking out for us, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege and the honor it is to have a relationship with you and to be able to talk with you corporately together like this, Lord. And Lord, as we come and even though we're not going to give our tithes and offerings right this moment, Lord, as we leave, Lord, we pray that you will just place it upon our hearts, Lord, to give back to you just a portion of the many blessings that you poured out in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for this country right now, Lord, pray over the men and women that are serving in our police forces and in our fire departments and all the first responders, the National Guard, and everyone that is putting their lives on the line right now, Lord. I just pray your hand of protection over them, Lord, that you would just give them a peace in knowing that you are watching over them, Lord. And Lord, as we come into this time of giving back to you, Lord, in our offertory time, Lord, we pray that our hearts will just be set upon you, Lord, and that we will look to you as the author and perfecter of our faith, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for your love for us. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Darren. He can do that in his sleep. Actually, Kim learned to play years ago, my wife, and at night when we're going to sleep, sometimes she'll reach over and touch my arm and she'll play it. We want to release the kids for children's church. Do you do that, Darren? Do you, at night, do your fingers do that?
They do.
They do. Okay. Must be a keyboard thing. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Well, 35 years ago, I left Memphis, Tennessee with my new bride, Kim, relatively new, and we moved to Florida, 1985, to Hollywood, Gardens Baptist Church in Hollywood, and I was the pastor there. And so I left Memphis, and I'd already left my parents' home when I married Kim, but we were living actually for about a year and a half or so. Right next door to them. My dad had bought the house next to them. And so when I left Liberty, we went to Memphis, and we lived in that house In fact, Shay was born there, our daughter, our firstborn. She was born in St. Jude Hospital in Memphis. And so we left, I left my family and moved back, moved Kim back to Florida. She was born in Miami. And we think about our families. We think about our biological families, our mother, our father, sister, brothers, our children, our grandchildren. We think about that family that God's given us in our bloodline, our hereditary family. And then we see in Scripture that God talks about a biblical family, the family of God that He gives us. In fact, He promises actually to give us that as somewhat of a replacement. In Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." He said that to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall not receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." And here God promises us that if we follow him and submit our lives to him, then he says that he will actually replace in abundance anything we sacrifice. And he talks about in Scripture also, the Lord Jesus, that he said our love for him should make our love for our biological family look like hate compared to our love for him. We should so supremely love him. And that's been the case in my family's life, is that when we left Memphis and then moved down here, first of all at Gardens for 7.5 years in Hollywood, and then here since 1992, so for 28 years, we've had the opportunity to live in this city and serve Christ and relate to this church family, and you have become family to us. I've had a number of mothers in the life of this church, a number of fathers in the life of this church, that some of them have actually made me think of my biological parents, just in some of their mannerisms and some of the way they react. And as we've gotten more and more familiar and grown closer and closer together, there's just a love that bears out in our lives. I remember one of the fathers I've had in the life of this church was Chuck Needs. And Chuck was one of our deacons years ago. And he was a big strapping fella and made me think of my dad. And he built things. He loved to hunt, fish, do all those kind of things. In fact, he told me, "Don't ever go fishing under one of these bridges by yourself. I will go with you." And even after he was diagnosed with cancer one time, I remember calling him, and he was still relatively strong, and he worked his way down an embankment in St. Lucie, about a 40-foot embankment, to go down by the water underneath that bridge and snook fish with me a couple of nights after he had been diagnosed, and was just like a dad to me. I remember he stood one Sunday right here, right where that receptacle plate is in the floor. And he told the church, he said, "I've shown you how to live for Jesus. I want to show you how to die for Jesus." And he did that. Both of my children, when they were younger at that time, went and visited Chuck. In fact, he got him in his lap and prayed for him. And then shortly thereafter, he went to be with the Lord. And there was a joy in his life. I mean, it was exciting to see that dad live for Jesus and die for Jesus. And he was a great man and a great testimony, a dear friend for Nick and Nancy. And We see this aspect of our church family, the family of God. And if you've got your Bibles, I want to show you a passage that details some of it and kind of lays it out for us. If you got your Bible, look in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, the younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she's shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they've set aside their previous pledge. And at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, let her assist them, and let not the church be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. So in this passage, we see several relationships. One spelled out in great detail, the relationship of the church family to widows, widows indeed. And so we see, first of all, that we are all family. We are family. This is not just a club. It's not an organization. This is the family of God. And I've seen that in the life of this church over the years. I've seen the relationships that people have built with one another. And I've seen the outreach of emotions and affection and love, these binding ties that we have with one another. And it's a very, very powerful thing. I've seen people weep stronger at the funerals and memorial services of members of the church than they have even sometimes at the funerals of their own biological family. And I can honestly say through the years that the young adults in the life of the church, middle-aged adults in the life of the church that are related to Kim and I felt as close to them, sometimes even closer, than my own biological brother and sister. And so when we look at this, we see, first of all, he spells out the relationship of the men. Treat older men as fathers and don't sharply rebuke them. In other words, we need to appeal to them. As y'all know, my dad, after my mother died in 13, my dad moved down with us. He lived in the house with us for over 3 years.